Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Labor Day to everyone. This is Platinum 2 Executive Director Randy Moore from Oklahoma. And I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, September 2nd, 2013, More Success Team Legal Shield Group Conference Call. We host this special call the first Monday of every month, and it's designed specifically to assist our More Success Team associates that are interested in the group marketing aspect of Legal Shield. But to introduce tonight's special guest speaker, I want to go to Ada, Oklahoma. He is an original Millionaire Club member, a $500,000 ring earner, a Platinum 4 Executive Director, and leader of our More Success Team now for over 29 years, and that is none other than Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on?
Randy, loud and clear. I tell you, it's always a pleasure to introduce this next speaker. But before I start on that, I want to congratulate Mr. Jimmy Parrish, who made Platinum again this last month, and Mr. Michael Rawley has made Executive Director, and I'm sure there's others I haven't heard of yet, but I just wanted to congratulate them. Great job, wonderful job, great month, and looks like we're going to have a tremendous September, so I think it's time we're not in the game, we get in the game, Randy, because everything's looking up. This next gentleman is a Power 20 player ever since inception. I mean, that's about as long. Vietnam veteran, and I'll tell you what, tonight, where's Vietnam, Korea, World War II, Desert Storm, whatever it is, men and women, we need to support our military people and give them honor and grace and thank them for the service they do. So tonight I salute them and I thank them for that. 24 years with Legal Shield, Silver Executive Director, Performance Club member, 145 straight months, sold over 10,000 personal memberships, Millionaire Club member, 212 recipient of the first Wilmer Smith Achievement Award ever given by the More Success Team, over 45,000 organizational sales, 2006, 2008, number two in the nation in retention for small organizations, none other than my personal friend, Mr. Harold Pinson. Harold, welcome to the call, my friend. Tonight he's going to be speaking on overcoming call reluctance. I'm telling you something, a lot of us have had that problem in the past, we'll have in the future, but this man is a master and an artist overcoming it. So get your pens, get your paper, and listen to Mr. Harold Pinson.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Moore. Can everybody hear me okay? Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Randy. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, Harold.
Oh, okay, okay.
You're good.
Well, for those of you guys who don't know me, my background is retail. I was in retail for about 16 years, and I didn't get fired. I just got demoted, and I was too stupid to quit. And then a gentleman called me in 1990 and asked me to come down and visit with him for about an hour and a half about marketing this wonderful service, and he convinced me that I'd give it a shot, and all these years later, it's been the best decision I've ever made in my life. Before I get on the topic tonight, there's one thing I want to. I was in a gentleman's office here just a few weeks ago, and he had a sign on his wall. It just kind of hit me right between the eyes. I'd never seen it before, but it really spoke to me, and I hope it speaks to you. And it's basically a quote. I don't know who wrote this quote, but it says, "If better is possible, is good good enough?" Now think about that for just a minute. I don't care who you are in this business, how good you are, but we can all be better. Some of you guys here need to be good. Just messing with you, but you know, we can be better parents. We can be better husbands, better wives. We can be better at prospecting for new groups, asking for referrals, better at following up on initial contact. Better preparation, whether it's mental or having all your information together to pass out to your prospects at your meeting, and then presenting the product. We need to get better at closing the sale. And here's a real big one, time management. You know, how much time do we spend just wasting it? And one thing that I'm real keen on is servicing groups. I'm still amazed at the number of groups out there that don't get service. I was just recently reassigned to conservation group just a few weeks ago. It was a small school system in rural Oklahoma. You had a GPS system to get there. In fact, you could hear the banjos playing from the county line. And there hadn't been anyone down there in 6 years. I went in there, and, you know, it wasn't a large school system, but I sold five memberships in about 20 minutes. And I walked out with over $1,000. And whoever had their group before, then, you know, they were just basically missing out. So it's real important to service those groups. And my main topic tonight is overcoming sales reluctance. And, you know, at one time in our, or more than one time, we've all gone through that. You know, I've been guilty myself. And I don't care who you are on this call. We've all gone through that. I never will forget when I first got out of group school. I was here in Ada. I wanted to call on this small company. They'd been in the camp for a number of years. And I was so nervous. My hands, my palms and my hands are sweating. I must have circled that block at least 15 times. I'm surprised they didn't call the police for me stalking them. But finally, I overcame it. And it turned out pretty good. And, you know, if one thing about, here's this kind of illustration. You know, think about the salesperson who hangs around the office drinking coffee, maybe they're talking to coworkers, reading emails, shuffling through papers. You know, the real issue is that a salesperson is really not doing what they should be doing. They're not out in the field, and they're not making sales calls. They're not making prospecting calls either, and consequently not making any sales at all. And when you look at it objectively, it really makes little sense. Here's someone's paid on commission and avoiding the very activities that lead to a sale. And, you know, it really boils down to avoiding things that are unpleasant or uncomfortable. You know, some people have a hard time admitting and accepting their own self-destructive behavior. You know, the real challenge in conquering this problem is confronting it. There's really no technique or motivational strategy that can help you overcome call reluctance until you acknowledge it, and you have to recognize it for what it is. It starts with simply not feeling comfortable about approaching your prospect. Usually there's something going on in the back of your mind that's making you believe that talking to that prospect will run into a negative experience. So you put it off for a while and do some other things, but the longer that you put it off, the more you believe that the idea of making that call will be a bad experience. If it goes on long enough, you may even start to believe that you're not even capable of making that call. And if it becomes a pattern, you may even start to believe that you're not even capable of making that call at all. And here's five steps I'm going to go through here. Maybe if you're dealing with that call reluctance, maybe this will help you. Step number one, choose prospects you can feel good about calling them. You know, your friends, people you go to church with, companies that you spend money with. You know, if you spend money with them, they owe you the courtesy to at least listen to you. They don't have to buy from you, they do owe you the courtesy to listen to you. And call reluctance is directly related to two variables that you can control. The first is how much you know about the prospect, and the second is how confident you are that they'll likely be interested in what you offer. And try to learn as much as you can about your prospect before calling on him or her. And, you know, sales is built on trust. And also in your research, look for specific reasons that your prospect might be interested in what you offer, and then plan your call around that knowledge. The strategy really helps you as an insider. It also allows you to distinguish yourself from other salespeople, both in the mind of your prospect and in the mind of your own. Once when you start focusing on why your prospects will be interested in talking to you, you'll feel a lot better about calling on them. You know, we're in a really unique position. We really don't have any competition out there. We're the king of the legal industry, and we're going to be the king. And we're just getting started. I love what we do, and I'm still surprised that the whole marketplace is still wide open. Number two, and I think this is really critical. Make sure that you're 110% sold on what you're selling. That's have the courage of your convictions. You know, you're really selling two things. First, you're selling your prospect on yourself, and then you're selling them on what and your product that you offer. And two go hand in hand. And sales are based on trust. Your prospect needs to feel that you wholeheartedly believe in the benefit of what you have to sell. Your genuine confidence and enthusiasm about the product will transfer to them likewise. If you're distracted by doubts in either yourself or your product, that will also come true. You have an understanding of how vital and valuable your product has been for your existing customers, you can use your creative imagination to build a vision on what you can offer to your new prospects. In order to sell your prospect, you should have a sense of superiority, worth and importance of that you can't wait to tell the next opportunity or tell someone about it. And another thing about identity has become such a big issue. You know, that's what I lead in with my new groups all the time is identity theft. And just ask them questions. You know, has any of your employees been victims of identity theft? You know, someone yourself. Just ask and they'll give you what you need to know. Number three is recall past accomplishments. You know, if you're in the habit of living fearfully or skeptically, your self-image is probably wallowing in your frustrations, disappointments, and failures. It can make it very hard to approach a new prospect. It can also mean that you approach prospects knowing that you'll meet failure. The result is you'll prove that right every time. However, on the other hand, if you constantly visualize your past successes on focusing on the times that you were able to overcome challenges, you'll feel more confident on making sales calls that you might otherwise dread making. And if you replay these successes inside your mind a sufficient number of times, you are sure to start feeling confident and successful. The sense of confidence will most certainly help you overcome call reluctance as well as avoidance and in any other areas in your life. You know, some of the best days I had in my life is days that I got up and I didn't feel like going out there. But, you know, I just made myself do it. And I'm so thankful I did. I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today if I listened to my own mind. Sometimes we just have to make ourselves do something that's really uncomfortable. Number four is use a mental rehearsal. Now, I know a lot of you guys here on this call are sports fanatics. You know, before that football team takes the field or that baseball team takes the field, the first thing that they do is they get mentally prepared. They put their game face on. You know, that's what you have to do every morning when you get out of bed. You need to look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know, I'm king of the king. I'm the best of the best there is. You got to talk yourself up. Have confidence in yourself. And, you know, if you're new to selling, or at least a certain situation, you don't have a lot of past accomplishments. Accomplishments to recall, can't even talk. But how can you build on a positive experience if you lack experience? The answer is synthetic experience. You know, one of the greatest gifts that we have is our imagination. And it can also be our greatest liability, too. And, you know, we have control over our mind and body and also can be affected by synthetic experience as real experience. It's really a matter of what you choose to feed your mind. That's why we need to constantly get in the Word, God's Word, every single day. Read a good book. Read 10 pages of a good book a day. There's so many good books out there, so many authors. Get around people that lift you up. You know, think about the hypochondriac who's focused on every ache and pain. His imagination magnifies every system. And those thoughts poison their mind. You know, it's only a matter of time that the person starts feeling physically ill. I used to work around a guy like that all the time. And I finally told him to shut up. I didn't want to hear any more. And every time I'd see him, he'd always He's all, and I knew what was fixing to come out of my mouth. I said, Charles, I just shut up. I don't want to hear it. So I think he, I don't know if he got over that or not. Maybe he died. I don't know. But, you know, in sales, it is really helpful to mentally rehearse any and all questions that the prospect might ask so that when these questions arise, you will be prepared mentally. And if you perform this step often and well enough, when you actually make the call, you'll feel like you've already done it. You know, when you're going in and talking to that prospect, you know, really find out what their needs are. Ask, you know, whether it be working in the law enforcement field, commercial truck driving field, school teachers. It doesn't matter what type of occupation that these employees or employers or companies have. We have specific plans that fits all of their needs. And the most important thing, number five, is to relax. You know, I know sometimes it's hard to do. When I first started in this business, I was so nervous and tense, and I'm sure it showed through that you have to learn to overcome that. You know, if you show up full of stress and anxiety, your prospect's natural reaction is to meet you with resistance. And, you know, how can you put those prospects at ease if you can't even tame your own tensions? Think of how you feel when you call it or visit a friend. There's no tension. There's really no fear, no dread involved. But consider for a moment how successful you would be making and keeping friends if you approach your friends the way you sometimes approach the prospects, with reluctance, anxiety, and apprehension. You know, I like what Mr. Moore says. You know, there's not such thing as a stranger out there. It's just friends waiting for you to say hello. And, you know, I've been in this for a long time, I do have a lot of accounts, but I also have a lot of friends in those accounts. And building those relationships is really huge. I was in a school here just a few weeks ago, and this principal and I, we've become good friends over the years, and I didn't know this, but he told his whole staff, he said, I've had this service since 1992 or 93. He said, we've only used it three times. However, he said, the last time that we used this, it has saved me and my wife over $13,000 in just giving advice on what to look out for in doctor fees. And you know, I thought that was huge. I think just what he had said helped sell another 3 to 4 memberships there. Don't just go in to make a sale. Be a friend. It really pays dividends in the long run. And really just relax. And I think if you do those 5 steps, you'll be home free. But the key thing is fill your books full with appointments. You know, tomorrow's a new day. The year's is what, 2/3 over with now. We still have 4 months to go. Where do you want to be at the end of the year? It's up to you to make that decision. What are your goals for this month? You know, maybe you had the best month that you had this past August. That's great. I congratulate you. I commend you for it. I pat you on the back. But you know last month is over. What are you going to do this month? What are you going to do the next month? What are you going to do the month after that? What's your goals for 2014? We always got to keep planning ahead and keep our heads in the game and keep mentally focused. Always ask for referrals. Always ask for anywhere from 3 to 5 referrals. And maybe you're new on this call, and maybe you're not having much luck out there in the field. Maybe you're having some hard times. Don't get discouraged. When people tell you no, they're really not telling you no. They're just telling them time is not right. Some of the best groups that I have, and I'm sure Mr. Parrish and some of the other leaders on this call can attest to this, that some of the best accounts that we have are accounts that said no at first. So the business is out there. I just ask each and every one of you, get your game face on, get your playbooks worked out, and go after it. And, Randy, I guess that's about all I have to offer tonight.
All right, Harold, I actually had my phone on mute there. I apologize, but you did an awesome job, Harold. I know you've written over 10,000 personal apps now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I know Jeremy just announced last week that he has written over 10,000 personal. I don't know exactly how many people, but that's quite an accomplishment, Harold. How long have you been in the business now, over 20 years?
23. But, you know, even though Jeremy and I and Mr. Parrish, I'm sure he's written over 10,000, we can do better. As I said in the outset, you know, if better is possible, it's good enough. And there is one more quote. Ralph Waldo, this goes along with, I guess, Carl Reluctance and so on. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote this: without ambition, one starts nothing. Without work, one finishes nothing. The prize will not be sent to you. You have to win it.
Well, Harold, I just want you to know that I know Dad's always called you Mr. Persistency, because you get out there each and every day. You don't ever have to call Harold Pinson and see if he's going to get up and go to work. He's just out there. I know you drive all over the country doing your groups, but this business, what does it mean to you? What does it mean? I know you had a business background in retail, but becoming a prepaid associate, of course, Legal Shield now, what does that actually mean to you when you talk to other people being a Legal Shield Group marketing associate?
It really means time and freedom. Of course, you know, we work this business hard, but, you know, if you love what you do and do what you love, it's not a job. It's an adventure, and every day is an adventure. I love going out what I do. People ask me, so when are you going to retire? I'll retire when I expire, and when they carry me to the cemetery, I'll be talking to my pallbearers, and that's how I feel about this business. You cut my veins, and I bleed Legal Shield. But it's meant everything for my family and I, financial freedom. You know, we all have things that we like to do before we leave this world, a bucket list. You know, one of the things, you know, I'm a big sports fanatic, and one of the things on my bucket list is to visit all the ballparks. We're going to take a little mini trip next week, and after that, only like eight more parks. But, you know, when I was in the retail business, nothing like that was possible. I mean, I lived in that store. I was frustrated. I was unhappy. Dealt with, had great customers, but employees were always complaining. Then you had your district manager. You had your inventory. A lot of stress. Here, you can make it anything you want to make it. It's really, you know, the money has been great. You know, we all need to make a living. But the people that you meet in this business, I mean, the friendships that you form, relationships, money cannot buy that. I mean, there's people on this call that I love dearly. You know, Mr. Parrish, of course, the whole Moore family. Miss Linda Bowden, she's been a long timer. She's an incredible person. You know, you can't put a price tag on those friendships, those relationships.
Well, I agree with that. I've always said that.
But I could name names all night long.
Well, you couldn't hardly stop, because everybody on this call tonight, I think you've got a relationship with. I know we probably got some brand new people, but, you know, we've got several people, Harold, that are actually probably in speaker mode tonight. Could you take a couple of questions if they had or comments? Would that be okay?
Sure.
All right. Do we have?
Now, to make it easy, because I was in the third grade for 9 years, and since I've only won my class shaving, I quit. So, no, go ahead.
How about Linda Bowden or Jimmy Parrish or David Peterman?
I got a question.
Mode?
I got a question for Harold.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Harold,
hi, Linda.
Linda Bowden.
Yes.
Listen, I always something that I think about when I look back on my group business, and some of those things that I look at. Are the magic moments. And those are the things that happen when you're out doing group that really could never have happened anywhere else.
That's true.
And can you think of, maybe do you have one instant in time or one story or one magic moment that you can remember that just really you'll never forget that happened while you're out doing group?
Oh, well, before I answer that question, you know, you've been in this business a long time, and another thing about this business is, too, I didn't even mention this, is the renewal income.
Right.
There's memberships that I sold over 23 years ago that I'm still making renewals off today. And Linda Bowden, a little school that I call on, you know what I'm going to talk about is Burden Schools. You still have people over there that you sold the membership to back in, what, 1988?
Yes, I set up Burden School in 1988. Yep. With yep. Sam Cook was the superintendent.
Yep.
I still remember.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think probably the first, that aha moment was probably the first good sized school system that I was able to ink. I was turning cartwheels, and they gave me mandatory meetings. I had meetings with all the building principals, the superintendent. He was sold on. He encouraged all of his principals to get it, and I still had a group today. They had over like 500 employees, but those big groups are nice, but I had one group that I call on, Delta Community Action Agency, well, in several schools too, but they, every year at their end service, they always tell me, and this is why it's important, building relationships with those people. Now, they say, you know, if you wasn't here, our end service wouldn't be the same. You're part of our family. And, you know, that it really makes us feel special. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Just, you know, it's kind of like, and I'm sure other group people could say this, I know I have one school district, for example, that took me 8 years to open. I'd stop by there. It was kind of on a route that I would take, and I stopped by that school district for 8 years until I got it.
I've been there.
You know,
I was down at Ardmore here just 2 weeks ago, and there was this principal down there. He's heard the presentation for over 20 years. He was just a stick in the mud, and this year he bought it. And he came back and told me, he said, you know, I should have done this long time ago. He said, I was just no old fuddy-duddy. That's the way he put it. But he'd had some health issues, and his daughter had been a victim of identity theft, so.
Yep. And I bet you've sold memberships on the sides of a John Deere tractor. I know I have, in the Grand Canyon, one of my school districts.
I've sold memberships at a roadblock. I got stopped for speeding. Here's how you turn lemons into lemonade, guys. I was on my way to do a group enrollment probably 15 years ago. I was speeding. I deserved a ticket. Man stopped me while he's looking at my license registration. You know, I didn't have anything to lose, and I thought, well, I told the officer, my name's Harold Pence, and I'm with, of course, we were prepaid legal then. I said, we market legal plan to police officers. You ought to look at sometime. He said, what all do you offer? I got done the contract and document review part. And he said, you know, I could have used that last week. He said, do you have a form that I can sign? I said, absolutely. So I sold him a membership, and he didn't even give me a warning. So instead of having to pay the city some money, I got some of the city's money or some of that officer's money. So you might try that sometimes. You can sell memberships anywhere. I've sold like John Deere tractors. I've sold them on bulldozers, rainstorms, snowstorms. I'll go anywhere. I'm unstoppable. And you got to get that same mindset.
Listen, guys, this is Kenneth. Can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear me, Linda?
Yep.
I can.
Well, Burden School, of course, I know well. And that's another story for another day. But you talk about those moments. I know the time's running out. But one of the moments that I remember is Wilbur Smith sent me to Hudeberg Chevrolet in Oklahoma City, went back to the service department to talk to people, and just as I stepped in the door, somebody spilled oil, and I sat down right in my rear end in a pool of oil, and I immediately jumped up. I'm so embarrassed, but I jumped up and I said, that's right, there's a reason that you need prepaid legal service. And everybody in the shop signed up. But I tell you what, I told Randy the other day, my rear end was well oiled, I promise you that much. Had to cover my seat pretty good. But we do have those memories. They're funny now. They weren't funny then. But I tell you what, folks, they're memories that you'll laugh about later, but those memories have made us money. You heard Linda, you heard Errol, you hear others. Those memories have made us money for years and years and years. And I'm so proud of both Linda and and Harold, because I've had a personal experience with each of them. They're both first level to me. I've drawn money off of them for many, many years. In fact, I let Harold take me out and buy me something to eat the other day. I'm so proud of him. No, I'll get off, Randy, and let you go ahead. But I am proud of each and every one on this call tonight. But those are kind of memories that you can laugh about, cry about, or you can go home and be your own boss. Right, Linda?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Hey, can I throw in one more quick story?
Sure.
Well, a few years ago, I was coming back from the panhandle of Oklahoma, and my car was totaled. I had some injuries. My wife says I still have brain damage. However, the lady that hit me had insurance, but her insurance company, they were just jerks to deal with. So I used that on my car wreck. And, well, when I got healed up, I went back, and the guy that towed my vehicle in, I went back and sold him a membership. The EMTs that came and picked me up, I found out where they were headquartered. I went back and made a presentation to them and sold some memberships. And then I went to the HR department of the hospital where they took me, and they were already in the account. But that's another way that you that's a tough way to get leads, but you can do it.
Well, Harold, can I ask you a personal question? Did you sell the turkey that flew into your windshield?
No, he couldn't talk.
Okay, Randy, you better take over. Did I lose my son? He must have been on mute.
I was talking, but I had it on mute. I apologize.
Okay.
I was just saying, Harold, we appreciate you. Appreciate the longevity you've had with the team and all the expertise that you bring and how you represent yourself and Legal Shield and, of course, our team. You know, we just we gave an award last year, the Wilburn Smith inaugural Wilburn Smith Award, and we picked you, Harold, and we just wanted you to know that we appreciate you and Kathy, of course. Appreciate your friendship, your camaraderie, and, of course, the business work ethic that you bring to the team. So thank you for being our guest speaker tonight.
Well, thank you so much, and it's my honor. Thank you.
You bet. Mr. Moore, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you. I do want to remind everyone that the next call in 30 minutes, we're going to have Miss Kim Mia, $500,000 ring earner, will be our special guest speaker. I know she's a very dynamic lady, and we're excited to have her as our special guest speaker tonight. We have a couple of new announcements that we'll be making on the call also. And so make sure if you haven't let your team know about Ms. Kim Mia, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 30 minutes from now, that call will begin. So make sure and get the word out. Mr. Moore?
Okay, Randy. Of course, we're not going to say goodnight on this call because we've got another call coming up. We want to say, just like we always do, let's put God first, family second, Legal Shield third. Keep up the good work. Go out there and make the calls, write the apps, and have a happy evening. God bless.
Happy Labor Day, everyone.